You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here as we continue to dive in this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that is coming to town this Sunday. And folks, you can tune into an all-new edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns tonight at 7 on SportsTime Ohio with a look into the lives of the Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's 7 p.m. tonight on SportsTime Ohio, and it is a very special Halloween edition.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Dig it! Yes, of Inside the Cleveland Browns. Matt, as we continue to look at this team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we talked quite a bit about the defensive side of the ball, their shortcomings there. Offensively, this is a team that is struggling as well, which would surprise you when you know they've got Doug Martin, they've got Vincent Jackson, they draft Mike Evans, Johnny Manziel's running buddy from down at Texas A&M, and yet this is a team that is dead last in the league in total offense, 29th with the rushing offense, 28th in passing offense. They are just not getting it done, averaging 19 points a game. What do you see as the big ailment right now with this team offensively? Because when you think about the star power, it certainly is there, yet the results are not.
For me, just off the top of my head, it's got to be continuity. Without truly diving in and seeing a whole lot of tape yet this week, it's got to be continuity. And the reason why I say that is if you look at the trade rumors that have been going on for essentially the last month of the football season, you've heard Doug Martin's name, you know, in a lot of conversations leaving Tampa, some strong Doug Martin leaving Tampa rumors at certain points, but also too, even most recently, as the trade deadline passed yesterday at 4 p.m., Vincent Jackson's name continuing to be a part of a lot of conversations. And then, you know, to jump back on the defense, then they go and make two defensive moves. So to me, continuity is what's really missing from this team. And again, my analogy of that, you know, square peg in a round hole, I feel like they know what they want to do, but don't have the players capable of doing or an open-minded player that wants to do it. And that, to talk about the Cleveland Browns for a second, is like, that's what's so encouraging about what's going on around here. You've got a rookie head coach. You know, they have Lovie Smith, a seasoned head coach, but a first-year head coach in a new, you know, trying to employ a new system, and we're having success. You know, we're putting up stats, you know, both offensively and defensively. We have our own struggles, yes, but it always seems like, again, when the defense is playing well, the offense can't score. When the offense can score, defense struggles. So, you know, once we get that fixed and we're bought in, whether it happens this season or next, we're going to be a very good football team. And we've got some momentum, and we're putting one foot after another. And it just seems like, again, after the Pittsburgh win, it looked like they got it fixed. They got the win that, you know, kind of get that monkey off your back, and they were going to take steps forward, but they've taken steps back. So, continuity in that locker room, and for whatever reason, Lovie Smith and his staff not truly being able to connect with the personalities in that locker room.
Talk about Vincent Jackson, because you played with him in San Diego at a time when he would go out there, not get as many passes as I'm sure he wanted, but still find a way to catch 65 balls, have 11, 1,200 yards, 8, 9 touchdowns, average 17 yards a catch, 11 yards a target. Does he look like the same guy to you? Because right now, he's been held under 55 yards in 5 of their 7 games. He's catching 40% of his targets, career low, 5.4 yards per target, also a career low. I know he's been banged up, but he's 32, and I think when you're a bigger receiver, age catches up with you a little bit faster.
It definitely does. And the one thing about Vincent, as he kind of came into his own, he was a humble young man early in his career at San Diego who, with high expectation, they started to deliver the ball to him more often, and he was making plays. And with that came some confidence and also too some cockiness, and I think that's a little bit what's kind of crept into his game. He was probably enamored to leave San Diego, get out on his own, you know, and to get that big payday like a lot of players do, but now he's got the expectation, you know, each and every week to perform for that 100 plus yard game, you know, sometime multiple touchdown games or average a touchdown per game. Because if you look at him, you're like, man, he's got it all. He can run all the routes, he can make the plays, he's big, he's fast, he's physical, all those things. But yet he's not performing. And I think in some cases what we might be running up against is a little bit of effort problems. It's all those trade talks affecting his mental state, the fact that they're 1-6, you know, there's not a lot of good going on. And when that happens, and we've seen it here in Cleveland, the effort by the players goes down, and it, you know, you will see a drop-off in production on Sundays is what kind of Vincent Jackson's had happen to him.
Yeah, I mean, right now you look at Andrew Hawkins out-catching, out-gaining Vincent Jackson. through seven games this season, which is not something people in Las Vegas would have thought would have happened before the season. So they got Vincent Jackson, they've got Mike Evans, they've got Doug Martin, but he's averaging only 2.9 yards per carry ever since that magical rookie season. He hasn't been the same guy. They've got the former Brown, Bobby Rainey, actually leading the team with 287 yards rushing, 4.6 yards a pop. But they really have not had much going on offensively. And part of the problem is, too, their offensive line has been getting beaten up, especially the last 2 weeks. Mike Glennon, who's kind of a statue in the pocket, 9 sacks in just the last 2 games. But still, it's a team that's dangerous because when you have the playmakers we talked about offensively and defensively, if you can get hot and put it together, you can have a strong game. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey now, joining us on CBD. Chevy, nice to have our daily chat.
Thanks, guys. Listen, I just want to say the key to victory is, I think we'll all agree, Brian Hoyer has the right to walk this earth. He's a human on this earth. He has the right. And that guy has to get that feeling in his gut that he showed us. And he has to have that stare. No more smiles, no more jumping around. I want him to just look right through people, and I want him to lead this team to victory and get back on his winning ways and stay there until the end of the season. That's the key to me right there.
To talk about your point, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but also, too, is, and I've said this throughout my career, is, you know, we get paid, you know, handsomely to play a game for a living. So, and you can just see the enjoyment that Brian Hoyer has to be the leader of this football team, but also, too, to enjoy his teammates, you know. And I think, you know, Aaron, look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, the belt and the, you know, the high fives and the, you know, jumping up and, you know, whatever they, that back thing that guys
yes.
do, whatever it's called, you know, and
yeah,
I've done it, and I don't even know what it's
called.
But you're right about that. You're right about that. But I'm just using him as an example. But I get where you're going with, you want to see the business aspect of Brian Hoyer, but to look through people and look through teammates and coaches and be that kind of, that's not a leader in my eyes. And I think for me personally, guys would gravitate away from him more than they'd gravitate to him.
Well, if somebody asks him to kiss a baby, I want him to stare that baby down. I'm going to say, I got bigger fish to fry, and that baby will know exactly what he means.
All right, I hear you.
What's that movie with Will Ferrell?
I want that game face.
Will Ferrell and Galifianakis.
Talladega, no.
Where they're it's like an election.
I never saw that movie,
the
but
candidate
I know what you're talking
about. Or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah, and he ends up knocking out the baby. We don't need anybody knocking out any babies here, but I do think for a reason there is something about confidence. I think Aaron Rodgers has supreme confidence in himself, and I think while Brian Hoyer does at times, artificial factors outside of his control can kind of eat in and seep in at that. I think all he needs to do is come out and execute, and if he can have one of those strong games where the ball is on target, I think it'll do a lot for his confidence and the confidence of everybody around him.
No doubt. His play, you know, will supersede any mental objection in his mind, anything that's going on outside of football that might have been affecting him personally. If he plays well and this football team wins, you're going to get a happy Brian Hoyer, a confident Brian Hoyer moving forward.
Yeah, we need a confident Brian Hoyer because we need this offense to match, as you said, the defense. Like when you play golf, when you're driving it great, it's like, why can't I putt right now? And then you're making everything, but you're making everything for, you know, par bogey for saves. It's just kind of the way, the nature of the beast. But we will be excited to see about, we'll be excited to see, in my opinion, this team put a full game together. And I think this is the kind of matchup where they can do that against this Tampa Bay defense. This is a team that really doesn't have its answer at quarterback. As we talked about, Glennon is struggling mightily. 9 sacks over the last 2 games. He's thrown an interception in 4 straight games. They just got Mike Evans back from injury. He's been playing fairly well. Also, he was very complimentary today about Johnny Manziel, as you would expect him to be. After all, they hooked up for about 1,400 yards and 12 scores last year at Texas A&M. But he said, you know, what he thinks is so great about Johnny Manziel is that he can deliver the football like a 6'5 quarterback, but then run and hurt you like Michael Vick. And, you know, Mike Evans was a guy I thought all along that maybe if the Browns were going to – Manziel was the guy they wanted with that second pick or move up, that maybe they would reunite those two, give him that comfort, and you'd have the Gordon-Evans type of a combination out there. But they ended up trading back and picking 8th where they got Justin Gilbert. Evans went 7th overall to Tampa Bay. But it's always fun. Do you remember, like, going your first game against, like, somebody that was your boy at Ohio State? What was that like?
It was great. You know, because you text prior to the game. You know, in some cases, you go visit them at the team hotel. you know, in and around the San Diego area, wherever they stay in the evenings, and kind of hang out and show them the city for a few hours. And then, of course, also, too, you text and say, hey, I'm heading out to warm up. So they're in the visiting locker room, you're in your home locker room, or vice versa. And you say, hey, let's go on the field. And you just go out on the field and you just kind of hang out. And that way, you know, that way you get to meet other guys on their team and you grow and you build your network. And in some cases, you might be teammates with them as well because of free agency and trades. Sure. You get cut, all that kind of stuff. Is so you might end up playing with some of those guys that you met, you know, way back when so-and-so introduced you. So it's really, really cool. It makes it fun. It's even fun when both of you are on the field actually competing against each other, because you're really not smack talking. You're just kind of like, you're laughing under your breath because you know it's him.
It's fun. It's
your
boy.
It's great. It's just, again, equivalent to what you would do on a golf course.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Hanging with your boys out there, having
That's
a little
right.
bit of fun.
Playing a game for a living.
Playing a game for a living. So we kind of highlighted here some of the top-level things on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. And again, as we said, there are a lot of stars. The stars are bright in Tampa Bay, but they have not been a good team just yet. As I mentioned, they are the lowest-graded defense right now by Pro Football Focus, and that kind of jives with the fact that they're dead last in yards allowed per game, dead last in points allowed per game, and that is one of the reasons why they have struggled so mightily here. Oh yeah, by the way, they're also dead last in offensive yards per game. Not a good recipe for success, but
no.
The Browns have to be sure they don't let them off the hook. We're going to dip into the mailbag when we come back to see how the Browns can ensure that they do just that. Protect their house, protect the dog pound, First Energy Stadium. Get the win there. Also, call us 216-578-0850. Give us your thoughts. What's something the Browns must improve? What are you worried about with this Buccaneers team? Do you think they're as bad as their record indicates? Let us know. And also, the head coach of the Browns will be with us at 1:45. Mike Pettine with his presser as the team returns to work on this hump day Wednesday. Also give you the latest on Jordan Cameron right after this.